And when I read that quickly, and I readily confess I didn't study that language, I just assumed that to mean a greenhouse, whether an indoor, you know, inside another structure greenhouse with artificial light or some kind of outside greenhouse structure. But are you interested in opening that language up further?
I just, you know, and maybe, you know, I just like to make sure that this is open for greenhouse. Like I said, because a lot of this came from where the house was on this. The house talked about much smaller locations.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure
What I would suggest on that, I mean, unless you've got some language now, I know that we're going to have to, or I'm assuming we're going to have to go to the conference with the House, and in the meantime, we could come up with some other language to make sure that both internal and external greenhouse structures are covered.
That'd be fine.
Because yeah, I don't think there was any attempt to confine
I don't think that there was either. I just wanted to clarify that after the questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and Norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the immunity, or
yeah. What page are you on?
On page 14, where it says, or reimbursement by the state for the federal charge, for any federal charges that may be brought. If you look down on line 15, it says, notwithstanding 12.3.15 of the state government article, a state employee who incurs counsel fees in connection with a federal criminal investigation or a prosecution solely related to so forth and so on is reimbursed by the state. I'm wondering, you know, why the federal feds would get involved in this if this is something. I'm wondering why the federal government would get involved in this. If you're a marijuana grower, of course you're growing a lot of marijuana. In those cases, would the federal government prosecute these people?
Are you asking why would they or why wouldn't they?
Why would they?
Why would they?
Yeah.
Well, I think that the Department of Justice and the Obama administration have been clear that they do not intend to use the limited law enforcement resources of the federal government to go after people who are acting pursuant to a lawful medical marijuana program in the states. So I don't think that they would, but we saw what happened with the academic centers who were not willing to step forward to do this because they were afraid of what kind of response they might get from the feds.
The provision you're talking about is in the existing law?
Yes.
And it just relates to state employees who get sued.
Yeah, are these people who grow the marijuana is considered state employees?
No.
No.
No. No. So,
right. I mean, so there if the federal government decides that they want to prosecute somebody that's
nothing
growing fields of marijuana, what do you do with that?
Nothing we can do.
Well, I mean, this is the great question that's going on all across the country right now. Obviously, you know, we're not going to conscript anyone to be involved in this. And there are risks. On the other hand, more than 80% of the people of our state, and I think it's pretty consistent across the country, believe that if somebody needs medical marijuana to deal with a serious disease like leukemia or AIDS or multiple sclerosis, they should get it. And it's hard for me to imagine a jury convicting someone for being involved in that kind of program. And as I said, the federal government has said that they are not going to deploy their resources to go after people who are involved in a medical marijuana program pursuant to a state law.
Norman, they're not doing it in Colorado and Washington, which is legalization, and not even for their medical marijuana, just for legalization. They're not going after them in Colorado or Washington. So if we have a medical marijuana program here, I mean, doesn't make
district.
Why would they go after that? You know what I mean? They're not going after it if it, you know, it's been legalized in those
states.
Well,
we must be concerned because we have the provision in here about reimbursing anyone that has a problem
in existing
area.
Law.
Yeah.
In existing law. Yeah. Well, you know, people have expressed some anxiety about that depending on who's president at the time and who's attorney general. But I think the country's moving in a direction very favorable to medical marijuana.
You've got a much higher population.
Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On a similar but related, somewhat unrelated topic. This did not come up at the work group, but I'd like a little bit of discussion, and perhaps counsel can weigh in. I'm on page 11 of the bill, of the reprint, rather, line 17 through 20. And this language gives me a little bit of pause. This is the liability language or immunity language for as it relates to physicians. what we have in here, and I think this is just lifting from the House bill, is a certifying physician shall be protected from civil and criminal penalties under state and local laws for actions authorized under this subtitle, including the issuance of written certifications and the collection and analysis of data. I understand from talking to a couple people, the intent here is that, you know, it's meant to be criminal prosecution, and we don't want to discourage docs from participating. I guess, and I understand that, and I think it is important to have that in there. I just want to make sure that that doesn't provide a much more blanket level of immunity, and we've heard many times concerns about these blanket immunity provisions. I guess the thought, number one, is would there ever be a circumstance where somebody could hide behind that under a malpractice claim? So if somebody were to write a prescription for medical marijuana and there be some sort of an adverse reaction or they had no business providing them, I want to make sure that we're not immunizing a doc from doing that. I don't think we would be, but I want to be sure. And then I guess the other two are, is this such a broad category that it could excuse fraud or negligence that we don't want to excuse if in fact a physician were doing some sort of pill mill connected to some sort of criminal enterprise. So I just would like some reassurance that that's tight enough, that it's not too broad, and I just wanted to throw it out for discussion.
I'm not sure you even need that in light of the provision in section 13-3313.
What page is that on?
Well, it's an unnumbered page, but it's the page preceding bill page 13 and carrying over to bill page 13.
What provision are you talking about?
Section 13-33-13.
That's the existing
immunity provision.
That strikes me as right. That was my response, too. And I think Chris raises a really strong, lucid point there, because we want to make sure what we're trying to say there is that we don't want anyone prosecuted for dealing in marijuana when they're just getting it to the patient. But it could be read more broadly to say, if you negligently prescribe, recommend marijuana for someone, you can't be subject to the normal malpractice action or civil discipline by the board, and we don't want to do that. So I'm agreeing with Susan. I think that maybe we should just remove that. Mm-hmm. I think it's unnecessary.
All right. So you're proposing an amendment to the amendments to strike lines 17 through 20 on page 11?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to vote on the amendments first and then strike
I think we can do this as an amendment to the amendments.
Fine. Then. Yes, okay. I would move that, Mr. Chairman.
Does anybody object to that amendment? All right. That's adopted. Ready to vote on the amendments?
Sure.
Chris.
Okay. I think this is the only other one that I came up with, and we did discuss this at the work group, and I want to make sure that we're also not doing an unintended consequence. This is page 12 of 14. I guess it's sort of big line 5 here. There's a lot in there, and this was the language about the commission being able to go beyond local zoning. So I'm specifically referring to 3 here. Where the commission shall set standards for licensure as a medical marijuana grower to ensure public safety and safe access to medical marijuana, which may include a requirement for the posting of security. And remember, this was the discussion where we wanted to make sure that the commission could go beyond what a local zoning could do. I guess my question again of Susan or anybody else, with everything that we put after the comma, medical marijuana comma, where it says which may include a requirement for the posting of security, would that then limit the commission from imposing additional requirements beyond that? Since we're specifying it may include the requirement for posting of security, and they wanted to put something else in there in terms of signage or something else,
they could.
So we probably want to say including.
This is just by way of illustration. It's not by way of limitation.
So do we want to say including but not limited to?
You don't need to.
No, you don't need to.
You don't need to.
No, there's a rule of construction in the code that's
it's non-exhaustive.
So that means it's non-exhaustive. And if they wanted to go beyond that, just because we list security, they could.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Anything further on the amendment, Steve?
Just to go back to where Senator Schenck was regarding, and we had talked about this a little bit, the number of licenses. Obviously, in the House bill, it was a hard number. We had discussed opening up to an unlimited amount of license, and I think we came back with the language as somewhat of a hybrid in stating that the commission will issue the amount of licenses necessary on demand. I still have great concern about this. We've talked about this a number of times. I don't know that we're going to immediately know what the demand is for this product. I think there's going to be a ground rush to get in and get one of these licenses right away. I think without a cap on the licenses, we're going to put an awful lot of pressure on the commission to determine how many should be issued. We had a lot of conversations about whether this should be a free market or not, and believe me, I'm a free market person, and I agree with that, with the exception that this is still a regulated substance, or a legal substance as well, too. So we're talking about, do we open this up as a free market for an illegal substance? So, you know, I still have a lot of concern about this language here and how it's opened up and how it's giving the commission the ability to somewhat control these. It's better than an unlimited amount, but I just don't know that it goes far enough into determining the quantity that we have. You know, I think it potentially leaves some room for fraud. You know, we could have a number of growers that can grow way too much product and maybe not have the medical treatment centers to buy that from them. You know, we talked about whether this should be an integrated supply line. I guess as a group we decided against that, but I think there's still some concerns with not having a specific quantity on this.
Tony.
Did we look at ways of trying to limit it? I know we can't do it as we did, for example, with the casino licenses. We said only a certain number would be given out and looked at geographical location, et cetera. What would then be a way of looking at that to make certain that everybody, you know, that everyone on tomorrow will not become a grower tomorrow, and then we don't have the capacity at that point to regulate and police and all else. But I don't know the answer to that, but what can we use as a precedent and as a starting point and maybe a phase it in as we're able to get a handle on it?
And that was exactly what was brought up. These got equated to the casino licenses.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, while there is a quantity of casino licenses, there is also a number of video licensing terminals that went with that. So what we are saying is we have a number of licenses that we might give away, but we're not containing or restricting the amount of growth that can occur, how much marijuana they can grow. So kind of subsequent to that. But at the end, you know, the way that the language is now, again, it goes back to your question that how do you determine this right away? Right, I mean, day one, we don't know the demand for this. We might have an idea. The commission doesn't know the demand. So I don't see how this is going to start right away when you've got a number of people that are going to come in and say, we would like to get these licenses, and now the commission has to go up and say, okay, can we figure out what this demand might be? Mm-hmm. Then you do obtain a license. Well, how much can you grow off of that license?
Right.
You know, can you grow an unlimited quantity and say, okay, this is what I've got. Let me find out if there's enough medical treatment centers out to buy this. Or do you end up with an overabundance or an additional supply that might not have a medical treatment center to go
right.
to?
Okay.
And where does it go?
Somewhere in between is an answer.
Bob, yeah. I just want to say, I mean, like, that was a long discussion in the work group, and one of the reasons, to err on the side of more versus fewer is that, you know, unfortunately, and I'm not sure we're going to have much of a conversation about it here today, but, like, based on what's going on in the House, it's going to be very challenging for poorer people to have access to this. If we limit the number of licenses to an artificially low amount, then the effect of that is simply to have the price be those individuals are going to control the price. And if they control the price, then they can raise the price, and that means that people who are, because this isn't going to get covered by health insurance, obviously. So at the end of the day, that means that people won't necessarily have access to it who don't have means. And so the decision was made within context of the little work group, I mean, obviously subject to anything else, that we want to have this thing as open as we can. I'd like to see as many of these as possible so we can keep, you know, so you don't have an artificially high price. But I think we made the determination to let the commission make that determination based on a number of factors.
Unlimited, not based on geographical location.
So I think Steve raises a good point, but I think the answer to the point is like anything else we've done when... anything else we've done when government gets involved in a business, which is like in, you know, in when I do health insurance and a new provider comes in and, you know, a new provider has to see how many contracts to get and how many subscribers they're going to get. It's just it's playing with the marketplace, and the commission's going to start off, and they're going to and then they're going to see that they don't have enough supply, and then they're going to take more growers, or they'll have enough growers, but there won't be enough production, and they're going to increase production until they're just going to play with the supply and demand channel until they get it right. That's all.
But the difference with that is that you have the potential for an unlimited demand. Here we have a very restricted demand. Okay, I mean, you have to go through this process, get your ID card. So what's happening is you've put a restricted demand, but you put an unlimited amount of supply.
But it's not an unlimited amount of supply because the commission has the authority to set production quotas. And if it doesn't have to say it. We've given them the authority to establish it, and we don't have to put the word production quotas in there. They'll do it.
I'm saying I think the language is loose. Okay, I mean, that was the. I mean, you're right on the discussions that we had. I think also to answer the question that Senator Zirkin had about getting this out to areas of lower income, I thought that was somewhat addressed through the medical treatment centers themselves. And putting the certain quantity into legislative districts, and then add in some there. So you're right. There's still the selling side that comes in, but within each legislative district, you're going to have medical treatment centers that are going to sell. They're going to be competing against each other. So in a sense, they will find, in a free market system, they'll find the way to say, I need to buy it a little bit cheaper because I'm competing with three or four locations that are fairly close to each other.
Chris.
I just wanted to chime in. I understand Senator Hershey's point, and to a certain extent I share the concern. I guess before we go too much into this discussion, I don't think sitting right here right now we can possibly contemplate all the vagaries of how this marketplace is going to be determined, because right. I think there's going to be we'll push over here, and then just like the balloon will come out on the other side. So no matter what we do, I think there's going to be an attempt to figure that out. I guess the concern that I have, I'm reassured by the fact that the commission has this ability to set the regulatory structure to meet the demand, number one. But number two, I think to do the opposite and to artificially limit the amount of growers introduces this element that I am much more concerned about, and that is that it's going to be some sort of monopoly that is going to have the political prowess to really shape this in a way that I think is very disconcerting. So I'd rather empower the commission with this, and I think the ability that they have to post security and track the plants, and then if things, if there is too much supply out there, they can always constrict that. So I'm reassured that that's the direction we should go. And the alternative, I think, is just something I don't want to have in this bill.
All right. Are we ready to vote on the amendments?
Yeah.
All right. On the amendments, is anybody opposed to the amendments? All right. The amendments are adopted. Would everybody on the work group raise their hands? Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
the thanks of a grateful state. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I mean, if you want a resolution, we can arrange that.
Yeah.
Jenny.
Well, I wanted to ask a question about how close together these places are that people are going to go to get it in districts like yours and mine.
I think we're talking about two.
No, you are.
Yeah, in your district, there would be a maximum of two because it's all within one county. So there'd be a maximum of two. It doesn't have to, you're afraid they're going to be too close or too far? Or
it's no more than two
No more than two.
Yeah. Per legislative district.
All right.
Yeah. And there's no signage. There's no advertising. So it would be inside a doctor's suite or an office where they would be in a building.
That's closer together than a doctor's offices are for many people.
Yes. Yeah. There are lots of doctor's offices in the district 17. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but you will not be overrun by them, but you will not be left out either.
Right.
Okay. Everybody will be able to access one.
We ready to vote?
Yeah.
Okay, the motion is favorable as amended. Call the roll.
Vice Chair Gladden.
Yes.
Senator Brochin.
Yes.
Senator Forehand.
Yes.
Senator Hershey.
No.
Senator Jacobs.
Yes.
Senator Muse.
Yes.
Senator Raskin.
Yes.
Senator Schenck.
Yes.
Senator Stone.
Yes.
Senator Zirkin.
Yes.
Senator Forehand.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Okay, it's favorable.